The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi everybody, it's Dan Latto and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. And in this podcast, I wanted to talk to you today about your belief system. Because over the last journey of like 7 or 8 years, I've gone through some pretty big transformations myself, battling in court for kids, moving over to Spain, property portfolio works really well, we've got a coaching business, and so we've got some wonderful stuff that's happened. But also, as part of that journey, I've actually changed as well. And so some of my beliefs and some of my assumptions that I used to think were correct were actually incorrect. So this specific podcast comes about because someone's posted on Facebook about how landlords, let me rephrase it, how there are only 69 houses available for like 8,300 people who are on the waiting list for housing. And this is in Wolverhampton. And then someone's put on the comment that this is because most of the landlords have bought them and then remortgaged and taken the equity out. And like, I want to ask them and go, how do you know? How many landlords do you actually know who bought council houses, lots of them, and remortgaged them? Because I bet it's probably not that many. Maybe in London, I don't know. I can only talk about what I know, okay? In Leeds, I don't know, and I know a lot of landlords. I know a lot, like thousands of them. I don't know any who've bought council houses, like houses plural, and then remortgaged and bought out the income. I don't know any. But the problem is that this person has got these very specific beliefs. Now, there are all sorts of beliefs that we all carry, and some of them are unknown. We don't even know what some of these beliefs are. And so we call these beliefs limiting beliefs because they limit how we think, and therefore they limit how we actually act in certain situations. Let me give you another example. I was dating a girl once, and you know, she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm in sales at the time." And she goes, "Oh, I could never be a salesperson, persuading people to buy things that they didn't want to buy." And I'm like, okay, that was their belief system. That's what they believed salespeople did. And obviously, if you're in sales, that's the last thing that you want to do is sell people stuff that they don't want to buy. What you want to do if you're in sales is find out what they want, find out what they need, give them what they want, you know, and make sure it's a perfect match. Because if not, they're just going to come back and complain that you sold them the wrong thing. When actually, if you just sold them the right thing to begin with, you improve their life, they get the product that they want, you get some commission or some income off that, everybody gets to win. We don't go out and sell people stuff that they don't want. If you don't want coaching, my job is not to sell you to want it. You either want it or you don't. You either want that life transformation and a, you know, looking at a better way of doing things, or you don't. And if you don't, then that's fine. It's not for me to persuade anybody. And it's not, you know, if you ever feel persuaded by a salesman, then they're not very good salespeople. But there are lots and lots of limiting beliefs. So we call these, sometimes we can call them a glass ceiling. So there's a couple of beliefs around sex and race. So for example, if you're a woman and you might have a limiting belief that you're not taken seriously in the boardroom. So if that's your belief, then actually you probably won't be taken seriously in the boardroom. But if you've got the other belief that you're a ball breaker, then that would be your belief too, right? And so your belief system will shape the way in which you see the world. So I'll give you a good example. On the Guardian website, always a great website to get inspiration. If you ever see a property related article, just jump on, look at the comments, and then you see landlords being called leeches and parasites and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. When you call tenants parasites, by the way, everybody goes off in a big huff. They really don't like that because it's unfair, hardworking tenants. As well, landlords, for some reason, are not hardworking and risk everything to buy their first buy-to-let, their second and their third buy-to-let properties. But what you've got on that website is a huge amount of we will call them limiting beliefs because that's their beliefs. They're happy with their beliefs, and why should we change them? But they've got beliefs that landlords, all they do is often they don't provide accommodation, they don't provide any service. Like, you try telling all my tenants that I'm not providing with accommodation, because I think most of them will go, well, actually, I think Dan does provide me with a place to live, a place that I can call home, a place where I'm not going to get evicted, you know, on a whim, because we want our tenants to stay. And you hear people all the time saying, yeah, well, landlords, they keep the properties empty on purpose so that it pushes rents up. That's crazy. How much property do you think we need to keep off the market to push rents up that would cover the cost of putting that rent back on that property back on the market? So if we've got a house at 500 quid, what, we're going to keep that house off the market to push all of my other rents up? How's that going to work? That means we have to do that as a collective group of landlords. There's 2 million of us. We might all think alike when it comes to property, but we're not all on the same team on that one. So it's crazy. Surely I'll just rent out that property and get an extra 500 quid. That's what I'd do. But the limiting beliefs, you see. So it's interesting because we've got limiting beliefs for poor people, and then we've got different types of limiting beliefs for wealthy people. So poor people's limiting beliefs are, for example, everybody else is out to get them. Everyone else is out to screw them. Everybody else is out to take advantage of them. Whereas as a wealthy person, we don't go out of our way to take advantage of people. We go out of our way to help people. And yet there's this perception for when you're poor that if you're wealthy, you have to step on somebody else in order to get a peg up. And actually, it's completely the opposite. Your amount that you get paid is determined by the value that you bring to the marketplace. We say this many, many times. And people can't seem to understand that if you want to earn a lot of money, you've got to bring a lot of value to the marketplace. It's as simple as that. The more people you help, the easier it is for you to get what you want, you know? So it's that saying, if you can help more people get what they want, then that will help you get what you want, something like that. But what if some of the belief systems that you've got were actually wrong? So like that lady who's saying, all the landlords, or most was the word she used, most of us landlords bought council houses. Well, I've not bought a single council house. We did use some of the equity when prices went up. We remortgaged it, and then we bought some properties to do up and sell, which thus brings out more equity or profits that we can then reinvest into the portfolio. And that's pretty much how we built it. That and generating a lot of cash year on year, so we're doing 100 grand a year. You know, that sort of thing, back when, you know, sort of 10 years ago when I worked at Dell, that's exactly what we did. And we used that money as deposits. In fact, almost every penny I got went on that. You know, we didn't have really fancy cars. Only towards when we built up the portfolio did we buy the Porsche. Before then, we had still a nice car. It was a BMW convertible. It was a nice car. But, you know, it was 10 grand. It wasn't 50 grand, you know. So you've got to keep an eye on these beliefs. Now, sometimes some of these beliefs you don't actually understand that you've got. So one of the beliefs is, for example, so I'm 44 now. So going back, you know, I remember a time when being on 25, 30 grand a year was an awful lot of money. Like, I don't think it's that much money now. Maybe I'm changed, but maybe inflation's also eroded that away. But if you think that 25 to 30 grand is a lot of money when you were like 9 or 10, then that belief imprints at the age of 9 or 10. So when you get older, if you can earn more than 25 grand a year, you'll believe that you're doing really well. When actually, there's other people who've got the belief system at 100 grand, and then there's other people who've got a belief system at 200 or 400 or 500,000 pounds a year. And so the difference between a person who earns 25 grand a year and sometimes a person who earns 200 grand a year is simply that belief system. Their value of self-worth, their way in which they determine themselves in the marketplace. So the only difference between a £500 an hour coach and a £2,500 an hour coach is the belief system on what that coach believes they're worth. Trust me on this. I've been and had coaching from coaches who are charging, you know, £5,000 a year, and other coaches who are charging £1,000 a year, and there's really no fundamental difference other than the belief system in that coach. I've had coaches who were charging 20 grand a year and they were crap. And yet they're still closing 20 grand a year and people are loving them. And it's like the only difference that they've got is their belief system about how they perceive themselves in the marketplace. And so I call this the Forrest Gump effect. Forrest Gump, I've mentioned this before, the biggest takeaway from Forrest Gump for me was that Forrest was too stupid to understand that he couldn't do something. And because he didn't think he couldn't do something, he just went out and did it anyway, because that was his belief system. Look at Forrest. Well, I know it's a made-up story, right? It's not true, is it? Sure. So he just went out and did whatever he felt he was supposed to do. And so that's what happened. And yet we have other people, and they're so intellectual. I was speaking to a guy on a strategy call, a financial analyst, and he just couldn't make the numbers work. But he's a financial analyst. He was too clever. He was too intelligent. Sometimes you've got to take this knowledge and just park it and just go with the flow, because you can work out the numbers, and they might not work today, but they might work in 5 years' time. But if you can't get in the game in the first place, obviously prices have changed and rents have changed and so on, and yields have changed all the time. But if you can't even get into the game, you're never going to be in the game in 20 years' time. So you've got to start swapping out these belief systems, but you've got to start understanding what your belief system is. So, for example, let's ask you a question. So how much money do you think you're worth? So, like, if you're on 25 grand a year, you might say 35 grand. If you're on 50 grand a year, you might say 60 grand. If you're on 100 grand, you might say 150. If you're on 1 million, you might say 2 million. And so the only difference in how much you earn is how much you believe about yourself. I've seen it where people have had a target to do £152,459, and they pretty much hit that on the nose for that year. Because that was the magic number they wrote down. I'm like, dude, what if you'd have written £320,628? You think you might have made that? I'm like, yeah. Okay, great. So what are you going to do next year? And the problem is, if, let's say you're on 50 grand. And people go, well, you know, I'm on 50 grand. I'd like to earn 55. Because that's all they're going to get from the employer. That's a 10% pay rise. No one gets 10% pay rises. That's never going to work. But if you're self-employed as a business owner, you know, what from 50, would you do maybe 75? What if you did 250? What if you did 500,000 as your target for next year? Like, what shifts would you need to put in place? What's the mindset shift? What would you need to do different on your business? Would you need to scale it properly? Would you need to market it properly? Would you need to have better documentation, better systems, better training? Of course you would. So why not start from that level instead of going, well, I'll try and get 75 grand from 50. No. Why not go for 500? Let's say that you don't get to 500. Let's say that you only get to 125. That's still 50 grand more than the 75 grand that you were going for in the first place. And all you've done is move the numbers around. When you start moving these numbers around, your whole perception of what you think is possible is different. You might still fail hitting those bigger numbers. But even if you fail massively, you're still going to earn more than you did before. Plus, then you're going to have all these extra systems which you can build on ready for year two, year three, year four. Because remember, we stand on the tall shoulders of giants. Is that Isaac Newton, I believe? And that's exactly the same for us. All the work that I did last year, so we are on podcast 92 right now. So all the other 91 podcasts have got me to this point. Like, do you think those podcasts will serve me over the next 3 years? Absolutely. Do you think people might go and listen to a podcast, in 4 years' time from, you know, one of my first podcasts that we did last year? Yeah, absolutely. Do you think we might close some business from that? Absolutely. Because we're standing on the tall shoulders of giants for work that we've already done. The problem is that people, because of their limiting beliefs, yeah, but I can't make this work. They end up not getting in the game. Well, you're never going to work. It's never going to work if you can't get into the game. I remember once playing basketball and the other team, we're very big and bouncy. Everybody was dunking. And I'm the little goofy white boy sat at the end of a bench. And I'm shitting it, basically. I was playing for an all-black team. The other team was an all-black team. I'm like the token white guy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get just pulverized. It was a very, very physical game. Anyway, so we're so I come on court. And you can see the eyes light up. This goofy 18-year-old, skinny as you like, you know, and you can see him. So they come out and do a full court press. But I'm a really good ball handler, so they've got no chance, you know. So I beat the full court press, I go down, score a layup. And you can see them sort of looking at each other. But I had this belief system that I was going to, like, get pulverized effectively. They're a much bigger, much stronger, much more physical team. And whenever they tried to use their muscle on me, a foul would get called, which was really cool, send me to the free throw line, score a few more points. Or because they're like jumping and blocking shots, you'd up fake, the guy would jump up and you go around him and shoot the shot. And, you know, I came out like 20 points in that game. It was a nice little game for me. And so the first bit was I had this belief system. But then as soon as I stepped on court, the belief system didn't match the skill level. Because I practice, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, which is what I did when I was 17, 18. Because I wanted to play professional basketball. 5'7" is probably not the best idea. I should have been like a jockey on a horse or something. But that's ultimately what I wanted to do. But the belief system didn't match the skill level. And the problem is that most people, their skill level is low and their belief system is high. And then what happens when they try and perform is because their skill level is low, their performance is not very good. And so their belief system comes right down. Whereas, because I had a low belief system, but naturally I let nature take its course because I became unconscious, if you like. I was making moves and I wasn't thinking about them because I practiced all the time. So this is one of the things that you can do when you're looking to improve your belief system is you've got to start changing the skills that you've got. So we've got something called an identity shell. And it's like six or seven different areas in an identity shell. But two of those are skills and abilities. And the other one, so skills and abilities is one, and then the other one is belief systems. The other one, by the way, is experience, and then the other one is strategies. So, like, there's four right there. So when you've drilled down into these, you've got to look at, okay, so what are my skills? Have I got the skills to do £500,000 from 50,000 this year, next year? And it could be the answer's no. Okay, what skills do I then need to get? Have I got the strategies in place to do, instead of 50 grand, to do £500,000? And if the answer's no, what strategies would work? Have I got the belief system? And so there's two ways of breaking down the belief system. One is using, where you talk out loud. I am a millionaire. If you've got a T. Harv Eker, they get you to do this and do some really weird exercises. It's always quite funny. The millionaire mind intensive. I highly recommend it, by the way. But, you know, the millionaire starts in the mind first before you become a millionaire. And then because of the mindset stuff that you've got going on, that's how you become a millionaire. But it all starts with belief systems first. And if your belief system is, oh, I'll never do £500,000, you're totally right, you won't do £500,000. Belief system on its own, without the skills, without the abilities, without the strategies, that also won't work. So there's a combination of things that you've got to get going on. But the first step I want you to think about is, what are your limiting beliefs? What are the things that you think are true right now, but actually are not true whatsoever? What are they? Have you got a belief around your health, a limiting belief? Have you got a limiting belief around your relationships? Have you got limiting beliefs around your income and your finances and your wealth? Oh, well, I'll never earn £2 million worth of property. I remember doing the numbers to get to my first £1 million, and we're way past that now. But my first £1 million worth of property, and I ran the numbers like 1 million times. And me, by the way, running the numbers 1 million times. So I said there's two ways of getting around these limiting beliefs. The two ways are that you chip away at it, using these sort of self, speaking out loud. I forgot what they're called. But where you talk out loud, and also where you actually sit and you write the numbers and you're working out why you have that belief system, and you're chipping away at this, like this piece of marble to shape out this new belief system. And the second way is to use hypnosis to go around the iron bar that's inserted into your head when you're like 8, 9, 10, which separates your conscious and your unconscious mind. It's called a critical faculty. And it's the critical thinking part of your brain. Because when you get to like 8 or 9, that's when this metal bar, not literally a metal bar, but it separates your conscious and your unconscious mind. If you tell a 3-year-old to wear red shoes and click her heels 3 times, it'll make her fly. They will believe you. You tell that to a 12-year-old, the critical thinking part jumps in and goes, no, that's silly, that's how it'll work. And so the critical thinking is the bit that goes, I'm going to make £1 million this year. No, you won't. That's the critical thinking bit. And so you can chip away at that. And that's a method that works, but it takes some time. Or the other way is to go bypass the critical faculty, the critical thinking, go straight into the unconscious mind. So look, that's belief systems right there. If you want a change for next year, the biggest change that I can suggest for you is a change in your belief systems. That's the biggest thing that will make the biggest difference of all. So I want you to write down what you believe your belief systems are for money, health, wealth, finances, income, and then start by adding a couple of extra zeros. Instead of saying instead of saying I can't, £500,000, why not say how can I? Big difference. Like, how can I? It's three little words, tiny words. It's like, what, 6 letters in 3 words? How can I? 7 letters. Instead of I can't do it, how can I? I can't do £100,000. I can't do that. How can I do £100,000? Well, that's 10 people at 10 grand each. Oh, you might be able to do that. 20 people at 5 grand each. It's 100 people at 1 grand each. So you can do it. And then you just got to find a product that you can sell for £1,000, make £1,000 profit. Or coaching product at 5 grand and makes 20 sales. Or coaching product at 10 grand and make 10 sales. You can do this. But it starts by asking a better question. And the first part to asking a better question is, first of all, understanding what your belief systems are. And then you're making a decision as to what you want those belief systems to be. Because you get to choose them, you know. We're not just carved out of stone and nothing changes. I wish it was, because I'd still have a six-pack that I had when I was 25, which I was long gone. It's turned into a beer barrel. But our thoughts and our belief systems are not etched in stone. We can change them. And it starts with a question. All right, I hope that's useful for you in this podcast. My name's Dan Latter, and we'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.